Okay, we're now going to switch to the northern leg of the Bring Them Home Now tour and talk again to Karen Meredith of Gold Star Families for Peace. Karen, are you, I know you're there, are you in Milwaukee?
Nope, we were in Milwaukee yesterday.
Okay.
And this morning we're in Evanston, Illinois, I believe it's just north of Chicago.
Just north of Chicago.
So yesterday we left Madison and headed to Milwaukee, where we were met by Vietnam veterans against the war and some labor people and some Veterans for Peace. And we were on the shore or on a lakefront of Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very breezy yesterday. But we had quite a nice turnout for all of the cities in the first, I think, week have done an amazing job of getting people together with such last-minute notice.
Right.
And we probably had 200 or 300 people there yesterday. And there was a lot of other events going on in town that people could have gone to, but they did choose to spend the time with us. And that was, it's always heartwarming to see people come out that they really are interested in the tour.
Yeah, and I think Milwaukee was even, you're saying that the towns, the stops in the first week, they didn't have a lot of time to put these things together, and Milwaukee was even an addition to the to
right.
your tour, right?
They called up when we were on the road and said, pick me, you know, come here, and we did, and it was certainly worth it. We had time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are in the Chicago area, and our groups have split up today because this morning the two of the Gold Star parents, Al Zappala from Philadelphia and me, were at the opening press conference for Camp Casey North, which is the Crosses, and in conjunction with the Boots, Eyes Wide Open, which is the Boots
mm-hmm.
exhibition, started in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
With about
right.
500 Boots, and so they brought over the Illinois Boots, and they're sitting here on the lawn in front of a Unitarian church. And with the crosses, and it's hard because these are the boots that go with the exhibition, so these are the boots that have the mementos that people have left, and
right.
so there's pictures and flowers that people have left on all the 60 cities that the tour has been through, and I see some familiar names that, you know, I've seen before at
mm-hmm.
this exhibit.
Right.
So we're here, and then some other people are at a high school. Today's the first day of school, and they're doing a bit of counter-recruiting, handing out opt-out forms for the No Child Left Behind. So they're doing that. And then we'll meet up at another school. I think we've got about 3 or 4 schools today.
Uh-huh.
And then tonight we'll end up with a vigil here at the exhibit with the crosses, and all of us will be together again. So we've got a busy day planned for us, and didn't get a lot of sleep. When we got into town last night, we pulled up to our host's home where we were all staying in Evanston, and we were greeted with Fox News, and I think it might have been ABC News. So we didn't get any quiet,
uh-huh.
And it was a reception for the people, the local area people who were supporting the tour.
Mm.
And not only were they all very nice people, it was a potluck, and they had really good food, too. So we were happy.
Well,
good, we're in the Midwest, so it was good comfort food,
yes,
too. So
yes.
I was looking at the spiked watermelon, and I thought, that might be good on the bus. So if there's any of that left, we might have to take some with us. But
now, wait a minute. Did you say spiked watermelon?
I did say spiked watermelon.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So well, we'll have to make sure we do it after the press conference.
Right. Well, we'll let that one pass. Okay.
Yes, we will.
Well, it sounds.
We have a life too, you know.
Yeah, really, definitely. It sounds like you have a very busy life today, and a potentially very emotional day.
Oh, yes.
I know that the Eyes Wide Open, the Boots exhibit is a powerful, powerful thing, and it personalizes even more a lot of the toll of the war, of course, and which is what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Boots, to me, There's 76 booths from Illinois, and they represent the empty lives that have been left behind.
Right.
These booths, of course, are set up, you know, in a perfect grid, as if they're standing at parade rest. And you think about when you see the name or you see a picture and you know who filled these booths, and you think about the families that have been left behind and the promises not kept to their future. And it is very hard because you can see the number 1887 on a piece of paper and you can see a list of names. But when you see boots, it represents so many of them loved being in the military and they loved being a soldier. But it's, you know, this administration has misused the military for purposes that many of them weren't so aware of when they joined up. So many of them just said, you know, we joined after 9/11, and so they wanted to serve their country, but I don't think any of them wanted to serve their country invading a sovereign country and with all the other things that we're hearing out of Iraq.
Well, not to be so glum, but the number is now 1,888 U.S. soldiers and 2,084 coalition soldiers total. So,
do you have the Afghanistan number? Because we have an Afghanistan Gold Star.
I do here. I will real quick here. The wonders of the internet. The total is 230.
And those casualties are increasing. You know,
yes,
Afghanistan has almost become the forgotten war. Mm-hmm. Not that you can forget much more than this country seems to want to forget Iraq, but every day.
Now, I wonder about the impact on the parents or loved ones of someone who is certainly injured, and certainly if they're killed in action, and the way that, like in Afghanistan, like you say, I think that I could see how some people could feel like nobody even knows it's happening anymore, and how that might feel, how that it would add on to the grief and the heartache.
And it does. And I try and say that, you know, I don't keep up with the Afghanistan number as much, but I try and say, you know, over 200, because there's been such an increase recently.
Right.
It doesn't sound like it's going well, and I'm being kind. In Afghanistan either, you know.
Right.
They theoretically had that under control, but it doesn't sound like it.
Well, I know there's another. I was talking to somebody yesterday who I believe, actually somebody that's on the Central Tour, who was in the 82nd Airborne in Iraq, and he said he felt fortunate. There was two of their unit members were killed. That's not the fortunate part, obviously, but he felt like that was pretty a low number compared to what it could have been in their first year there. But these were soldiers that were killed in what they call a vehicle accident. And I wonder sometimes even on that impact on folks when they're told that, or it's in the press especially, it's kind of like they weren't killed in action kind of thing, even though there's no way they would have been injured or killed if this war wasn't going on. And they separate those things out for some reason. And I wonder about the impact of that on families, if there isn't.
I think the impact of that is so much, and I don't know that many people were aware of this. When the war started in March of 2003, the death gratuity, which is what they call our, you know, I mean, I always thought
gratuity.
Was a job well done.
Yes.
And it says right on the form, it's the death gratuity. And at the beginning of the war, it was $6,000 when you compare that to what the 9/11 victims were given for going to work that day, and I think their average was over $2 million.
Right.
Anyway, so at the beginning of the war, it was $6,000, and only half of that was taxable. So half of the money was taxable. Very shortly after the war started, it changed. It was increased to $12,000, and our country was very kind in not taxing that money. But still, $12,000 isn't a lot of money for these soldiers who have committed to serve the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always been a, you know, kind of a bone of contention. Well, middle of late last year, the Congress voted to increase the death gratuity to $100,000. And there were many who tried to delineate that if you were killed in hostile action, you would get the additional $88,000. But if you were not killed in hostile action, i.e. a vehicle accident or falling off a roof or driving between bases, you would not get the extra $88,000. And that's how this country thinks. And it's wrong. And I believe that they did correct that, and that everybody who was killed, as far as I'm concerned, if you're in Iraq, you're in action.
Right.
You just really can't say that, you know, you can't delineate. They were serving the country, and they deserve the money as much as any other family.
Right, right. So did that particular bill pass?
Yes. Many of us have received the letter, although that's another story, too. And they sent this form to me, and it didn't make a lot of sense. It was actually an outdated form from that was dated 1964, and I called the Department of Defense, and I said, what's this form? It says I'm going to get $3,000, not $88,000. And, well, it's an outdated form. Just sign it and return it to us. And, you know, it's like, well, fix the form, you know.
Really?
So it was, you know, my background is contracts, and so I'm crossing things off and NA this and initialing that because, you know, there was nothing on there that told me what I was going to be receiving. And there was nothing, I mean, it was just a very weird form. And I guess it was, they went with the army they got, they went with the forms that they got.
Right,
and they have not, since 1964. So that was typical of much of how it has been with me in going through all of the military things.
Well, that's extremely ironic. I mean, obviously a form that is dated back at the what was really for U.S. major involvement in Vietnam right at the beginning.
Right, right.
And, wow. And I being somewhat suspicious, I guess, I hear that and I go, I wonder, it's almost a setup. How many people never return the form because they don't understand it or they think it's something's wrong? Or...
Well, but funny enough, because obviously we all talked, did you get the letter? Did you get the letter?
Uh-huh.
And that was another thing for me, too, was that I had moved since last year and I called, the whole phone call was very upsetting because I said, well, first of all, how do I make sure that you change my address? I've already changed it with the Department of the Defense. And her answer was, well, did you change it with our office? And I said, don't you think, you know, I could change it once I changed my son's permanent address? And she said, well, we don't track civilians, you know, me.
Mm-hmm.
But I changed Ken's address. And so it was just their whole attitude. But so, you know, they said, well, just tell the post office to continue forwarding your mail, you know, because we might send you something and we might not have the right address. It's just very arrogant,
right,
very uncaring. But, no, so a lot of us got the form, and many people just signed it and sent it in. They didn't realize it was weird. They knew what the letter was because there was a very strange unsigned letter explaining what a cover letter explaining what it was, but that didn't do a good job either. So the whole thing is just very insulting, you know. Yeah, if you want to play the army game, you only have, you know, less than 2,000 of these letters. Why don't you make it right?
Right, right.
And make us feel a little bit like this really does matter.
Right, make it see that it's important. See that it is important.
Along
those lines, it's something that we've talked about perhaps just doing ourselves here in Cottage Grove, or of course we have the armory where 700 plus soldiers were in Iraq for a year, and they're fortunately back now, but some of them didn't come back, including David Johnson, the Ford's son. And something that really amazes me is that there's no memorial at the armory for the nine from that unit that were killed. It just seems like that's a given that would happen right away.
Well, yes and no. I know Ken was with the 1st Armored Division over in Germany, and they did put up a monument, but there's those of us that say that people are still dying, and so what kind of a monument do we want to put up?
That's true.
So there's questions because I know there are some people in Oregon who do want to put up a memorial, but it doesn't necessarily meet with the agreement of all the other families.
Right, so. Right, there is that.
But,
that's
but
true.
But for the armory, I think it made sense for them to put something up, maybe plant a tree or,
right.
You know, and I'm just, I certainly not my decision, but the families need to do that, and
right,
they
right.
do need to honor the soldiers because they're not coming back.
Right.
And people need to know that. And then I think it's also helpful for the soldiers still in the unit because they every day remember who didn't come back with them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And
I wanted to return to, I know that it makes me happy to hear that they have actually increased the, I can't believe they call it a gratuity, but they've increased that for you. But I do know that obviously without question, every one of you would take nothing.
Oh.
You'd go to the no need for that that gratuity.
We call it blood money.
Yes. Yes, and it's unfortunately, like we just indicated this morning, there was at least one more Gold Star family created. And
at this early hour, they may not know yet.
Right, that's right. Okay, well, let's come back to the tour. And
okay.
You say you're going to basically be in the Chicago area all day today.
Today, tomorrow, and is today Monday? No, today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
Today, tomorrow, and we leave early on Thursday morning.
Okay.
And I'll be leaving the tour tomorrow night.
Okay.
To return to California.
Okay. I may try to call you again tonight.
Great.
To hear how things went today. And again, as always, any thoughts that you have, I know I've gotten feedback from folks. They have called you a very articulate person.
Thank you.
And
but don't tell them about the spiked watermelon.
No. Well, guess what?
I know.
My technological know-how has not gotten to the point where I can actually edit anything.
Editing. So. Okay. Well, now the secret's out.
Yes.
And, Michelle and Steve will understand.
That's
anyway.
Right.
And so
yes.
Will Annette Pritchard. So.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, as always. Thanks for telling the story.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
We'll talk
and
to you.
Have a great day.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.